damn it! I love professional wrestling!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Wind of Bands. And I have absolutely nothing to say that will come anywhere close to the sound clip you heard at the beginning of this show. Quite simply, damn it, I love professional wrestling.
That was really fucking spot on. That was so, Michael Cole knocked it out of the park this weekend. Sorry.
I'm not even going to wait for tomorrow, for night two, where we talk about it. Forget about the last 5 minutes is like a wrestling fan's fever dream in the main event. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The last couple of bits where the three count finished the story might be the greatest call I've ever heard a commentator make, first off. Secondly, every time, without fail, so far, I've listened to that main event back or watched it, when Samantha Irvin's voice breaks when she's doing the announcement, I'm gone. It fucking breaks me. Like, I cannot.
Yeah.
And then Michael Cole talking about like, oh, I've known him and all this, and then I love it. And then right at the very end, Corey and Pat, professional wrestling's cool, pro wrestling's beautiful. Oh, fucking hell. I'm done. That's like the commentary and the announcing alone reduced me to tears.
It's a new era. As Triple H and Stephanie both told us, we're in a new era now, and it definitely looks nicer.
It looks better. Pro wrestling is back. Sports entertainment is gone. Even a little thing like America the Beautiful is gone. Vince hated the national anthem. The national anthem is back. Like, considering that Vince's greatest achievement was WrestleMania, despite what he tried with the XFL and the movies and the music and the WBF and everything he's ever tried to do, WrestleMania's greatest creation on the 40th, well, not 40th anniversary, the almost 40th anniversary of his greatest creation, he was Chris Benoit for his entire company.
It was, yeah.
Like, he doesn't exist. Like, having Steph come out and saying, like, this is the era, this is it, was basically saying, I no longer have a father.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
My husband is in charge now.
Yeah, it, wow.
And isn't it just...
Also, because WWE have yet to do this, I'm strongly tempted to make our first official Ring the Bell piece of merchandise a Damn It, I Love Professional Wrestling t-shirt.
Yes.
Because I've tweeted WWE Shop, and they haven't done it. And
get that released.
So that'll be online available by the end of the week. Links will be coming to our social media soon. Okay, right. WrestleMania 4 is what we're here for. Two nights. Was the best WrestleMania ever? Who knows? We'll discuss that at the end. We're, of course, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for a night one that, shall we say, was massively affected by the weather, because, my God, those people looked cold. Before we get into this, let's do the admin. I'm your host, Andrew, with me, of course. First of all, because there's two voices. First up is Mr. Ross Bell.
Hello.
And joining us, again, after his returning star turn on our prediction shows, it's Ali Thompson.
Good evening, gents. I really couldn't miss it. I was so glad I got the invite back for this one.
After night one, I wasn't sure where this mania stood on the pantheon of great manias.
Same.
But when you, and Triple H said this in his press conference, like on night two, night one had to set the table for night two. It was the definition of a part two mania, a two-parter. You had to be looked at as a whole. You can't say they're separate events. No. Night two needed night one. So if night one was a bit so-so, it doesn't matter. Because as overall, this is one of my favourite WrestleManias of all time.
It's up there, yeah. I've started to rank the manias. I'm going to do it in eras almost. So one to sort of 12 and then 12 to whatever. And then, yeah,
plus we'll go through that in a later podcast. Shows, so exactly. About the content. So yeah, go, you see. We're not silly.
But yeah, it is up there, definitely.
Also makes my fucking pictures easier to design as well, because I spent nearly a day and a half doing the mania artwork for this, and I don't know why it took so long. but it's just trying to get everything captured.
Yeah.
But yeah, Okay, right, let's jump straight in. Night one started off with one of the more anticipated matches of the evening, or both nights. It was Becky Lynch challenging Rhea Ripley for the World Women's Championship. Straight away, announcer spoke about Becky's week. So much so she's had strep throat in the week, and at one point had a temperature as high as 102 degrees. Not what you want in the lead up to WrestleMania.
No, not at all. And then walking out into what would have been a very chilly stadium, she would have felt probably really hot and sweaty just walking out because of the cold weather. It would have been horrible for her. They put on a hell of a match, though. This is arguably my favourite match of the night. As I've always said, I've never been a massive Rhea fan, but she looked like a monster in this. The way she manhandled Becky at the end by riptiding her into the corner post and then into another riptide, that was like a work of art at the end. Really good. But yeah, Becky put in a hell of a performance for someone that's very, very ill, really.
Did you notice the heaters that were above the ring in the canopy overhead?
Mm-hmm. They were needed.
At least the wrestlers are warm. You know, the fans are, fuck them. You know, they paid their ticket. They deal with it, you know.
Should have worn a jacket.
It's bad that on Sunday, the very first thing I did is I checked the weather for Sunday night to think, are we going to get a better Mania crowd? Because I do think that my thoughts and my feelings about WrestleMania Night 1 was affected by the crowd. The crowd were not as hot as they could have been because they weren't hot, and it does make a difference. And yeah, I think as well, how you watch it, like I was watching it with a few people together, and you don't always hear it properly. You can't always pay attention fully. So I think sometimes how you watch it does make a difference as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I made a point of blocking everyone out for this match because I was looking forward to this, and I thought this was a banger, absolute banger. Ali?
Yeah, no, I agree with both of you. I think kind of, not being on the fence, I said it on the previous show, like, Rhea needs the title. Mm. But a performance like this, like, if you get more of these, then she doesn't need the title. She's more than just a title. She needed the strong finish over somebody like Becky.
Yeah.
Becky, regardless of result, Becky will be a top star for years. Like, she is, like, that the man character, I said it before, is very, still very underappreciated now. And I think we'll get a good story out of her, but just the I thought it was a great match. I think I agree with both of you. It's probably the match of the night. This or Sammy and Gunther's match. But the finish was badly needed. I loved the finish. Just a very strong, very powerful. Rhea just looks a star. Like, we talk about Jade Cargill looking a star, but Rhea's every bit a megastar the way she looks and presents herself. She comes across really well in all the press conferences. She's got the comedic value and all the backstage. She is everything that we really want in a wrestler, in a professional wrestler.
She got the musical entrance at WrestleMania as well. That's normally safe for the megastars.
Stunning. It made her look even bigger somehow. Yeah.
And they were good. Because they're normally terrible. Not that band specifically, but WrestleMania live bands are normally awful. But they were really good.
Yeah. I mean, my benchmark for musical performances is still Motorhead when Lemmy, because he's that stubborn, refused to sing the version that WWE wrote for that song. So he's like, no, I'm singing my version. I'm singing the version that I wrote, to hell with Jim Johnson.
Discounting the DX band.
I was hoping we wouldn't mention a DX band. I mean, no. Like, Shawn Michaels, as in worse condition as Shawn Michaels was on his worst and best days, could have still put on a better performance than that after wrestling Steve Austin at Main Event Mania 14.
Yeah. Horrendous. Yeah, no shit.
Okay. This was great. Becky, I think we said in the prediction, Becky didn't need the win. She doesn't need to win. She's got the book. She's got the movie career that hasn't really started off, but she can do that. She's very personable in the media. She comes across well. And based on the fact she wasn't on Raw and her illness maybe, but I wonder if we predicted as well, could she be taking some time off just to kind of finish the book tour and give us a break from the man as well? Because sometimes you need to take yourself out of the spotlight for a bit.
Yeah, definitely. It makes sense. Her and Seth gone for maybe 4 weeks, come back for the next Saudi show, I think it is.
Queen and King of the Ring. I mean, could you give them the Queen and King of the Ring? Like, okay, up next, six-pack ladder match for the Raw and SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Finn Balor and Damian Priest, DIY, Awesome Truth, New Day, New Catch Republic, and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Before we get into the ins and outs, what did we think of this match, Ross?
I thought it was pretty good overall. They're always hard to do, especially with that many men. It's a lot going on there. No, I quite enjoyed it. It was pretty enjoyable. No one really messed up too badly. The lad had almost took out Miz and Priest at one point where it buckled under their weights. I love DIY's gear. DIY coming out as DX was fantastic. I thought that was really good. They looked really good as well. Johnny Gargano doing the little Shawn Michaels jumpy thing down the ramp was fantastic as well. But yeah, I wasn't disappointed with Theory and Waller as taking the SmackDown belts down because they are a tag team. They've been together for a long time. They've got a tag team name. As terrible as it is, they've got a tag team name. And it gives them some direction because Theory's been directionless since his biggest fan left the company. And Waller's not really had anything to do on the main event since he got called up. So, yeah, I'm happy enough with those. And then obviously, Truth took the belt down. I thought he was going to mess it up somehow. It took forever to get that belt off the clip, but yeah, he came down with it in the end, and I was really, really happy. It was a really cool moment.
I think Waller and Theory winning makes sense. That we've always said before with champions and challengers, that the story's in the chase, and
Yeah.
there's enough tag teams on SmackDown as baby faces that can take them on, and they're the cowardly heel champs. They can cheat their way to defenses, and they don't need to
Yeah.
be strong because they've not been booked strong,
No,
really.
exactly.
So, they've won it in a almost in a luckyish way when everyone was down. So they've sort of snuck their way to winning, and now they can cheat their way to defenses until the time comes when they lose it. It's
Waller took a hell of a bump off that ladder, through the ladder as well
oh
with the belt
yeah.
when he pulled it down. That was a fair play. Took a bump in there.
I
Awesome.
think this was another one where the crowd weren't at their best, and therefore they weren't as invested in the matches, and that does make a difference to the viewer when it's such a large crowd, because you can hear
Yeah.
them when they're hot, and you cannot hear them when they're not, even allowing for the stadium and the acoustic and stuff. But
It was nice to see
what they mean with
Consequence of
that,
Creed back as well. Nice to see that.
it
Good that they've
was.
got that link up with TNA still going.
Yeah, I did see
Don't know where
actually
Woods
Nick Khan.
was, but yeah.
Apparently, Nick Khan wants to do more collaboration with wrestling companies. So I wonder if the TNA connection will start getting more prominent in the months
Yeah.
to come as well. And if it means that Jordynne Grace appears on screen more, then I'm all for it. So
Yeah.
that's fine. Awesome Truth, we predicted. I think that made the most sense. The story was there with them and Judgment Day, and it was Truth's first win at WrestleMania, which is stunning when he's been in the company since year 2000.
Ridiculous,
24
isn't
years, and it's his
it?
first WrestleMania win. Ali, what did you
Ridiculous.
think?
The match was a bit messy for me. Just one, maybe one team too many. It just become too much. But I mean, the highlight of the match, I think, probably for everybody, was the hot tag segment. R-Truth was just, he's just. I've watched it so many times. I've watched the TikTok clip of it, and it's just genius. It's just so fun. But that was my highlight. And Ross highlighted again, Gargano and Ciampa come down as DX. I was listening to a couple of interviews with Ciampa, like in lead up to build up, because he's always been known as quite the serious guy, and even kind of say, I'm starting to enjoy myself more and just enjoy the moment and not just be so intense. And it's like I can obviously go back to that character but just now I'm just enjoying, like, Gargano's his best friend, and I think with them as the good guys, if they stay on SmackDown, as you say, the chase is there for Waller and that. And yeah, I think the right 2-1 ultimately, looking at that. I hope Truth gets to keep it for a not long term, but yeah, I hope it's not just like a quick change.
Well, he got to team with his boyhood hero on Raw after
Oh, true, that's it.
WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, they've lasted one show as champions, so they're already
Yeah,
off to a
exactly.
better start than Braun Strowman and Nicholas. They gave it up after one day, so
Yeah.
Well, Zack Ryder in his IC
okay.
title.
Yeah. Right, up next, Rey Mysterio and Andrade, who got put in the match after we recorded our prediction show, talking about Dragon Lee and how much it was fun to look him at WrestleMania. Oh, wait, he's not even in it. Brilliant. Okay. Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. My biggest problem with this is that they've rushed the Dom Rey feud just to get back to Mania. That deserved better. Dom deserved better, really.
Yeah.
The match was fine. I have no idea who NFL players are, so the finish
Jason
made no sense to me whatsoever.
Kelce's a massive star at the minute, obviously brother of Travis Kelce, who's the boyfriend of Taylor Swift. But he celebrated the Super Bowl win of his brother by donning a Rey Mysterio mask and getting
Oh,
incredibly
okay.
drunk.
Well, some synergy there then with the
Yeah.
mask and okay.
Yeah, he's just a good lad. And the fact that he jumped over that top rope with ease for a man who's that big. Like, he just leapt straight over it. I was very impressed with that.
They had presence, I'll give them that. They looked almost at home. They didn't look like your stereotypical football player or basketball player gets in. It's like,
yeah,
you don't know what you're doing, do you?
I'm very stiff and wooden here.
Ali, what do you think?
Yeah, just this. We kind of said the same as yourself. The story wasn't really there. I think it does set up what I'd said. Like, Ray had to win, so he's obviously 2-0 against Dom. And I think he just eventually, the way once the Judgment Day split, blah blah blah, and then Dom retires him next year at Mania. If Ray can go that long, or maybe, I don't think it'd be a SummerSlam, but I think ideally Mania, and then gets his win back in a 1-on-1. I think that's ultimately the. They go, I don't get Andrade joining them. I don't get, I mean, ultimately, I think we obviously were going to see a Kalito turn at some point. Thought we'd actually see it in this match at one point, the way it was going. But I don't get the LWO, get rid of it. It's not WWE. I want to see Ray in just fun matches with guys who want to wrestle him. Kevin Owens says he wants a one-on-one with him before he retires.
Nice.
See him in matches like that rather than... Yeah, I don't want to see investment in storylines where Ray. I used to be a faction guy, but WWE have messed up factions so much recently. Like, the Judgment Day hasn't really been great. Had moments. The LWO has been awful. It's not really. So just stop with factions. Like, Bloodline.
He's just spinning his wheels, isn't he? Yeah. Like, when he can't really manage return, he was having some fantastic on a one feud with people. And it was great to see him in that mode.
You'd almost like him to go down to NXT and have some. If he's going to have stories, go down there and have some stories with guys who can kind of compete to his style as well that he wants to do. There's not many in the main roster who want to have those type of matches. I mean, you can have a fun one with AJ. Kevin Owens, as I mentioned, wants it. You could have a good one with Kevin, Sammy. But yeah, just get to Mania next year and let's get him retired and let's give him his flowers.
I do wonder if that's something we're maybe going to see out of the new Paul Levesque direction, because Vince was never a tag team guy and Vince never really seemed to know how to do factions properly.
No, he didn't.
Whereas Triple H might be different. He might think he grew up watching the great wrestling of the past, which was a lot of tag team stuff, that he's going to...
He's been in two of the best factions of all time.
Exactly.
As well.
I'd have more faith in him to book a tag team division and then maybe even a faction. I'm not saying I want massive faction wars, and you know, but at least... I mean, I think Judgment Day have been better than most.
They've served the purpose, haven't they?
They have. They've got... You think what they've got... Everyone in there is over to a varying level of degree, and they're all better off than where they were when Edge first started it, and to the point where they never needed Edge, really. Yeah. Like, it didn't work. They worked better without that character in it. So, yeah, maybe going forward we'll see, more factions coming, or just at the very least, I just want a good tag team divisions. And I think coming out of the ladder match we just saw as well, I think there's the chance to have that.
Yeah,
definitely. I like Ray. Ray's one of the greats, but his name could mean so much more for other people. And even just for Dom, even if it's just Dom retires him a year from now, you know. But they could be doing so much more with Mysterio as a legend
at
this point. So we'll see. Okay, up next, one of the more anticipated matches ended up for me being a disaster, and I have no idea how to explain where this went wrong. Jey Uso beat Jimmy Uso in the Battle of the Super Kicks. Even the Young Bucks must have been getting a bit tired of the Super Kicks after this one. What happened here?
It was just a dud, wasn't it? It just reminded me of Matt versus Jeff. Like, there's just absolutely no chemistry between two guys who know each other. Maybe it's that they've got the same moveset, so there was no sort of variation in anything. Like you said, it was just super kick party all over again. It was just boring to watch.
But it was super kick and then no selling the kick, and then super kick, then no selling the kick, and it's like, we've all seen clips, not just AEW, it's not there, but WWE as well, as where you see like those big things where someone get hit with a massive move and then they no-sell it briefly and then hit their move and then they're out. But that still kind of works. You get like that last little bit of energy where you're like, oh, one more time and you hit it and then you're out. This was just like, I'm going to kick you. Okay, thanks. I'm going to kick you.
Yeah.
And I can't blame this on the crowd. We know they're both good workers. Like, the Jay's over huge. The crowd loved him. Both nights, he got massive, massive reactions.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This just, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to tell a story that was far too nuanced and too subtle that we didn't pick up on it. Or maybe it's just one of those things where two people who should have good chemistry just don't.
Yeah, just didn't work.
I feel harsh, but I do wonder if Jimmy isn't cut out to be a singles wrestler. Because we've seen Jay perform well as a single.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy's never really had those singles matches. He's always been an interference guy when Jay's not been about.
I think that's it. Yeah.
And I do believe that. Like, I feel hard because I do love Jay, and I've never really kind of got the Jimmy. Jimmy's always just been the other Usos.
Yeah.
Could just be that. But yeah, it was awful. Their participation in night two was more entertainment.
It was. That spirit off the stage. We'll get to that in night two. But yeah, Jesus.
Well, I think all three of us have gave this match more credit, more attention than it deserves. It was just. Well, I don't get it. And obviously, when we do the Raw podcast, well, it makes that decision even more.
Yeah.
A little bit infuriating, actually, a little bit annoying. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, last three matches. Up next, women's six-man match. This gave us two really good entrances. The match was what it was, and it gave us the big star power at the end. This ticked all the boxes it had to, really.
Yeah, it did everything that it needed to do. It got six women on the card that really deserved to be on the card. Damage Control looked strong. Obviously, lost in the end. Jay looks like a star, and it sounds weird to put it this way, but it elevates Naomi to like she belongs with those two.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in my mind, she's not a megastar like those two are, Belair and Cargill, but she didn't look out of place, and yeah, they just look like they're having great fun altogether. Their press conference was really good as well.
I still can't help but think that the plan was Bianca versus Jade, and at some point following Rumble very quickly, they were like, Jade's not ready to go singles. She's not ready for this yet. We need to hold this back. Because this came out of nowhere. We've said this on the previous podcast. Jade shows up. She's there most weeks backstage. All of a sudden, she signs a contract. She's in tag match. Damage Control have been dominating for months. They're tag champs. They're like literally the tag team champions. And they get thrown on the card in a random six-woman. And it's just...
I saw rumors like, though, the plan is to keep Jade unbeaten now. Till next WrestleMania and have her face against Bella at Mania 41.
They have a fair few women wrestlers on the card you can feed to Jade, and I suppose then she could start working up to the higher and higher up the card of people, and the matches start getting more competitive.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Goldberg WWE thing originally, where he squashed the nobodies and then the slight names and then the more name and then the more positioned, and then it got up and up and up. It could be that's how they're going to do it. But the thing is, their star power almost covers half the match to start with. That's the thing. She's got that advantage that until the bell rings, she's money. And if she's with the right person in the ring, then she should be okay until she can be at the point where she can work something with someone like a Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
Ali, you've obviously seen a lot more of Jade than us, obviously, in AEW. Not a lot we've seen of her, but are they using her right if it is what they're going to do, where they're going to keep her protected and use the star power more than the in-ring ability?
Yeah, I think I said this on the preview show. This is as good as you're going to get from her just now. My only concern, genuinely, I think it makes Damage Control a little bit weak that one person keeps taking them out.
But yeah, true.
For building up, as Ross alluded to, there builds up Naomi. Bianca's obviously already a star, not really needed in the title picture just now, so it's something for her to do. I would maybe throw her and Bianca together as a tag team. You could arguably put the titles on them, give her that run with the title. You could protect her a little bit. You can hopefully, my biggest concern with her is if she's going to learn to work. If she does, it could be whatever she wants. But genuinely, send her for 3 months behind the scenes to go and work Natty Neidhart. Send her to work with her constantly. Every live show, make her work Natty, because there's no better technical wrestler in wrestling for the women's side than Natty, especially with TJ there as well.
Yeah, he was working with The Rock, wasn't he, previously?
Yeah, let her learn. On TV, we obviously will come on to the Raw one in a later podcast. That's exactly what they need to do with her. And until then, unless you're going to keep her off screen, that's literally all she can do. Because you can't give her a top... I know we don't do rankings in wrestling, but you can't give her like a top 15, top 20 women and let her squash them. She can't go up against a Nia just now.
No.
Needs to be, you know, like... I'll use her name, even though we're going to talk later, but the Chelsea Greens, the ones who aren't damaged by, you know, they've got the...
Yeah, there's plenty of those in the division,
isn't
there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Candice LeRae's and...
Even Natty on TV will work if you could get away with it, especially if...
Well, she's working NXT this week. Right?
Yeah.
On the main report, she's working NXT tonight against Roxanne, I believe. So she's... They're gaining from her. Molly Holly works in production on the main roster. She's one of the agents or producers. Mm. Learn from Molly Holly, but one of the best. Like, she's there.
Yeah. Give her a year. This time next year, I think we'll be talking about a star turn at WrestleMania, I reckon.
I do have concern, just genuinely, on she knows she's a star. She came in believing she was a star.
How hard do you work now after that? Yeah.
Yeah. She's not on a low contract, I can promise you, for where she came from. She wouldn't have accepted a low contract.
I don't know. See, I get the feeling, because I don't think she had a lot of leverage, really, because it's not like it's a secret that she can't work, because we all saw an AW to extent. Like, she's not come over with this ready-made in-ring ability. She's got star power, yes. But I don't think she's on she's on a big deal. Money, obviously, I don't think is a concern. Mm. But I wonder if she's gone in and they've had to say to her, look, you're going to work. Like, you're going to learn now. Like, what you did before means nothing anymore. Yes. Like, this is not how it was there. This is a whole new ball game.
I hope so. I believe Cody had a big influence on her coming. I'm pretty sure Cody had a big influence on her going to AEW at the time as well.
And Cody would have smartened her up anyway. If she's coming into WWE, he would have straight away been like, look, this ain't AEW. This is not. We'll put you on TV with a women's belt and you got the cast around you to make it work. You're not going anywhere live until you are good to go. Like, especially with the thing that she is, Cody aside, probably the second biggest import from AEW.
Definitely.
So that in itself comes with a pressure. I mean, okay, Paul Levesque, I don't think, looks at it that way, but the fans will. And
yeah,
they're not going to want to be embarrassed, really, by someone coming over on this kind of money and this kind of presence. And then that bell rings, and then it's like, oh, shit.
Yes.
Okay, semi main, Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn challenging Gunther. I was genuinely annoyed when this match finished. It angered me. The outcome angered me.
Yeah, me too. Should be Chad.
This was not the result.
It should have been Chad, or it should have been a retention.
Sammy didn't need to do another underdog. He did it last year with KO. Like, rise up against the bloodline and finally find himself. Like, we've done it before.
Yeah.
Except instead of like the bloodline as an entity, it's now just Gunther. It just, no. There was more to Gunther than I think this reign ending.
Yeah, I think he doesn't need a belt, but it just makes his presentation look that much better if he's just unbeaten and he's got the gold and he's got Imperium with him. It just makes him look like just an absolute megastar. Like I said, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to quickly see himself maybe even drafted to SmackDown and stuck into a feud with Cody, possibly. But I think he's going to get his way up that card very, very quickly. But yeah, I don't need Sammy as the IC champion.
I look at belts as, does a belt get someone? There's that very special caliber of people who don't need belts.
Yeah,
Roddy Piper was one. Matchman Randy Savage was one.
Yeah,
Bret Hart
Undertaker.
Was one. Really didn't need belts. Like they're fine. Rock didn't need one as the time went on before he obviously quit full time.
Yeah,
Sammy isn't any more over because he's got the RC belt. One, because he's had it before. It's not a new achievement for him. Yes, he's beat Gunther, but still, I don't know. I know there's other stuff to come that we'll get onto when we got onto our Raw show and next week and everything, but the match was really good, and I love the Top Rope Brainbuster.
Top Rope Brainbuster, yeah.
Was incredible, and it's pulling one of his old moves out of the hat that he hasn't used before, despite people online thinking it was a botch. And it just it took something special to beat Gunther, and that's the correct way to go. Mm. This seems like the one misstep in one of these. Like, oh, we listen to what the fans want. It's like, but the fans wanted Chad.
Yeah, it is.
Like, Sammy was legit pissed off when he heard that there was a lot of online thing about, oh, Sammy won. No, we don't want that. And he was genuinely hurt.
Yeah.
But that tells you then that market that Vince never used to listen to, but Levesque kind of does now, Sammy wasn't the guy. Mm. So I'd love to see what the story is going forward, which was what made them so sure Sammy had to be the one.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe a heel turn's coming. What it seems more likely from Chad, to be honest, but we'll see.
Ali, your thoughts?
The complete opposite from both of yous. I think I thought this would happen, and I didn't want it to happen previous. But I think the way the match went, the story that both guys told, the way the finish went down, I really enjoyed it, and I was really with it in the end. Again, we'll come on to Raw and our podcast and the way it's going. I think this way gives us more story going forward. The IC title finally means something. Gunther done tremendous. Doesn't affect him whatsoever. Doesn't weaken him. It'll be interesting to see where they go with him directly, because ultimately he needs to go into the main title picture, but you never really want to go into the main title picture right after Mania, because you don't really want to be changing it, flip-flopping it too quick, or it just almost defeats the purpose of the previous regimes. It needs to be just that nice amount of time.
But
it needs to be in the picture by, I don't know, say SummerSlam onwards, maybe?
Well, in Berlin's in August.
Yeah, so, I mean, ideally...
You've essentially got 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, Cody needs a heel champ, but you really want to feed him with Cody, because you can't have Cody.
You almost don't want to be with Cody yet, do you? Because Cody's not dropping that belt, and you don't end Roman's reign and lose it within six months. Like, if you were told we're going to put you with Cody, you're like, oh, do you have to? Can I go with Damien instead? Like, I could win that one.
Yeah.
It's as much as Cody and Gunther will
be a great match,
give that to me all day. Like, absolutely. But I'd want Gunther to win the match.
Yeah.
But I think Triple H likes Gunther. I think the company still love him. You know, a big man. Finally got a big man properly who can work really well. You know what I mean? Like, of all the proper big men they've had, who had some great workers, but they've still been a bit stiff, a bit slow. Yeah. Whereas Gunther's slow in a methodical way. Like, he can go when he needs to, but he's just slowed down to make everything mean something.
I think somehow Gunther's actually won Triple H over twice, because obviously he won him over NXT because Triple H loved him. The fact that Triple H was able to sell him in NXT, given that Gunther was always like, no, I'm not signing, I don't want to come over overseas, that's it. He was a dominant champ there. Then when he went to the main roster and Vince clearly soured on his look, and then Gunther, okay, well, I'll do it myself then. And he got him in shape and looked incredible and won Vince over. Mm. And then when Vince went, Triple H's like, oh my God, look what I've got. Like, I've got a toy that I loved before, but now I've got a newer toy that did everything to actually win over a stubborn old man. I love him even more now. Like, I think Triple H, if he picks up a roster list and one of the top three names on that roster is Gunther. For me, I think his priorities, if I want to protect these certain people definitively, Gunther's there, without a doubt.
Agreed.
Okay, main event time. Didn't see this one going 45 minutes, I'll be honest. Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. We know, of course, the stipulation, the entrances. I figured we wouldn't get a fancy Cody Roman entrances because they'd save it for night two.
Yeah.
Same as Seth. I didn't think we'd get much out of those three because we're going to be seeing them again. So Rock then gets the big final boss entrance, look great. Comes across like an even fucking bigger star than he already is. He's already the biggest star in the company. And he looks great. Like, I think I think Corey's on commentary or someone did. He looks as good as he did 20 years ago, which testament to him, his 12-week plan of getting in shape for Mania, he looked very good.
Yeah, he didn't look gassed at all. And a little bit by the end, but 45 minutes is a long time for anyone. The other three guys in this are just exceptions to the rule. I think they're incredible athletes. But yeah, I thought that they all put in a really stellar performance. I think it was the right result. I think Cody taking the pin does it. It's the right ending, and it sets up what is rumored to be Rock versus Cody at next year's Mania. Like whether that be for the belt or not, that's a huge marquee match. It's a main event match.
Well, yeah, it is. The way we said that night one had to happen for night two to work overall, this match specifically had to go this way. For night one, for night two to mean anything, like. If the babyfaces win, night two can still happen the way it does. There's enough ways around it, but it didn't just do night two. As I said, this sets up next year's main event potentially. Like this, this lot almost and of the Raw stuff as well. We'll get to on the next show. It was there. I did think that the other three were holding back because they knew they were working the next night. I think Cody and Roman didn't want to give too much of their stuff away, which is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
When you're working with The Rock, I don't think you have to bring 100% because The Rock's star pattern, the crowd were up for it. The crowd who had been standing there freezing for 4 hours, they were live. They were up for this match. So in that sense,
Rock isn't the workhorse who's going to work. Yeah,
has been there.
He's not the workhorse that's going to work you into submission. He's going to hit a few big moves and do a lot of posturing. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you can afford to take it a little bit easy with him.
They did the classic attitude deal, a star brawl outside the ring, in the crowd. Slowed it down at times, then knew when... These four guys are masters. They know when to pick it up, when to slow it down.
Bobby Roode has been the producer for all of the Rock in-ring segments and the Bloodline and Cody and Seth stuff. That man can put a match together.
Oh, yeah.
He's been phenomenal as a producer for these guys.
Could this match have gone half the time and still done exactly what it needed to?
What do you reckon, Ellie?
No. I think if it went half the time, we'd have had to get more out of the guys. I think it would have had to have been a...
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sprint.
If it's shorter, it would have needed to be like almost like a proper... I say proper match in terms as in we'd have needed more. Because it went so long, they got to tell the... Just the slow... I put it this way, I was really disappointed in the match when I first watched it. I was like, I believed it went too long. And then when you watch it again, like... on some sleep and less emotion. I'm a 40-year-old man, fully emotionally invested in it. and I'm perfectly okay with it after it. Sunday clarified everything I've done was okay with it. But it's like I watched it the same. It's like watching a game of football. Like when you're watching your team play the first time, you kind of, you just miss so much. And again, it was like this. It was just, it was actually a perfectly put together match. Could you have maybe took out 20 minutes of it, because I think from entrances to end was about an hour and 15, I believe, an hour and 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have maybe took it like 20 minutes as such, but I think it just went fine. I think it kind of was a nice crescendo right up to the end. Cody had to take the pin for it all to work.
Yeah.
I think it sets up Mania next year a bit more. I think it's going to be a Rock Roman. I don't think it's going to be Cody. I think we'll get Cody Rock before Mania.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I think they'll have some sort of show that they need to bring The Rock back for somewhere. Whether it be, I don't
know. Survivor Series must be some sort of anniversary since his debut.
See, that would be perfect. Is it Survivor Series? It's actually the Garden.
I think it is, yeah.
Which would be perfect because this is where everybody said Cody should actually win the title because obviously his dad won it at the Garden. So I think that's the way we do it because the Bloodline still needs to carry on as a story. And then Rock and Roman next year at Mania is perfect for me.
The ending,
The ending of the Bloodline as we know it, with maybe the younger guys taking over after that because I genuinely don't think we see Roman for too much longer. I think he was speaking about it in the press conference on the Saturday about like the leukemia stuff. So obviously he's still in remission. He's got to take a tablet for the rest of his life. Does he really want to risk everything the way like we young kids?
Mm.
now made. I think it was you, Andrew, that said even in the preview show, he's going to have offers for TV films. You know, he looks like a star. He comes across so well now. He's got that really arrogant smarminess about him when he does. Bro, I love it. I love the way he talks. It's a bit like Cody's very professional, very like politician, like the way he does his bro. Like Roman almost does the "yeah, I'm better than you" promo, and he does it so well. He'd make a great bad guy in many action movies.
I did. I know we're kind of jumping back and forth. I know Triple H said in the press conference on Sunday that Roman's almost going to tell a new story now. It's going to blow people's minds. And I don't know if that's just as simple. I think there's more to it than just he'll turn face, because I think he will be a massive baby face. And Rock and Roman, if Rock is still, if Roman's willing to wait until probably Mania next year, then Rock versus Roman could be the match. After Raw and what it seems about Rock's schedule and whatnot, I do wonder if they look at Rock Cody at Mania, which maybe Sykes change with Roman. I don't know. Mm. Roman might just thought, you know what? I've done 13 other days as champ. I've carried a company, literally carried
a company.
I'm
having
a break. I think if he considered himself retired during COVID and when he was gone, he's come back and, okay, he's not done full-time. Of course not. But he's still done over 1,300 days as the champion of the company, working the big matches. His name has been used to sell WrestleMania upon WrestleMania upon WrestleMania. Was it 4 WrestleMania main events in a row now? 5, technically, overnight. And that's a lot of pressure to put on someone. And that, taking into account the health stuff Ali just mentioned as well, I just wonder if Roman thought, I'm not done, but I can definitely see the end sign. And Rock Cody out of nowhere has now become almost the biggest match that company has. Six months ago, Rock and Roman was locked. That's your big match. With all the stuff that went down with We Want Cody and all that lot, Rock and Cody now seems to me the big one they can bring us at some point.
Yeah, we'll get off.
And this match set up. This was the match. We said Cody had to take the pin for it. It made more sense Cody to lose.
Yeah.
Not just to come from behind on the second night, but also now it's telling that story down the line. Cody, you pinned Roman. Rock pinned Cody.
Mm.
It tells a bloodline story if they want to go with that. It gives Cody, he's got to get that retribution back because I've got to get that win back on you. It tells so much. In that sense, the main event delivered.
Yeah.
I actually didn't think of what Ali said. If you had a shorter match, you would have had to get more out of the guys. So it gave Rock a chance to say, hey, look, I can still do this shit. Like I've wrestled for 11 years and I've just gone 45 minutes with three of the best in the world. Like, and as you say, he didn't look gassed. Really, he looked good.
No.
So, but yeah, that was night one. Looking back and watching it almost as a whole instead of a separate night, I think it redeems itself and it set the places for night two. And well done to those fans for braving the weather.
Yes.
Just looked ridiculous. Billy Ray said in his podcast that he's never been so cold. He's like, he was sitting in the crowd with the fans and he's like, it was freezing. He's like, if I knew it was going to be that cold, I'd have been in the office with them. I'd have been sitting in the back. He's like, I normally like to watch a live show with the fans, but he's like, if I'd known that cold, I'd have been with the busted open crew drinking and sitting in the back.
Okay, Sunday night, everything all roads lead to this. Let's kick straight off. World Heavyweight Championship match to open. Drew McIntyre challenging Seth Rollins. I initially was annoyed at this, at the post-match at least. But
yeah, we spoke right after this. You weren't happy, were you?
I was not happy. This was everything it needed to be. This was the hot opening that the show needed. And I think everyone come out of this looking so much better than they did going in.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing to see the Rosebuds at WrestleMania 40 as well.
That's
brilliant.
Always good.
I thought Seth looked like a match to make star with his entrance. I thought it was fantastic. Drew's entrance as well was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Punk commentary, always good. Little snipey remarks with him and Pat. I like that.
Who knew that guy could talk?
Wow. Yeah, right. I just think it just all played perfectly. Like the Claymore on the bell, I thought that was it. I thought they were going to give Drew the belt in like for 2 seconds. I thought it was a really good, hard-hitting match. I thought both lads performed absolutely incredibly. And yeah, the aftermatch stuff as well. I loved it. I thought it sets up sort of two or three feuds right away that you can now run for the next sort of 4 or 5 months. And I thought it was just perfectly done by all of them. The cash-in was, for me, one of the best cash-ins we've ever seen. And
yep,
Drew can hell of a take a chokeslam. That was an incredible chokeslam by Priest. He looked like a monster. Because Drew is no
small man. I was thrown off by Drew's reaction because he was really... Because they went with the emotional ending. He was a heel, but he was really emotional. He got his win. And it's like, they're not going to do a cash-in because this guy's almost crying in the ring because he's finally got his title. And it lulled you in.
It's a little turn of the head to just look at Punk. He couldn't let it go, could he?
And that's the story. Like, he's on, and I love Punk sound. Like, I can't hear what you're saying. I got cans on. What are you talking to me for? Like, Drew, even in his biggest moment, he still can't resist needling Punk. And actually, that's what cost him. That's an amazing story to tell.
Mm.
And also, Punk's reaction, the selling of when Priest's music hit and the complete 360 spin, just, oh my God.
I said to you, the image of Punk sat on that table cross-legged with Drew on his knees in the ring and Priest on the ramp with a belt, that's iconic. That's going to be an iconic image for years to come.
Also, a note for CM Punk as well. Over Mania weekend, he was at an independent show. He was doing a Make-A-Wish
stuff. He was everywhere.
He was doing the pre-shows. He was at the tryouts.
Yeah.
He was everywhere over Mania weekend.
Mr. Company Man.
For people that have doubted him in regards to what he could bring to a company or what he doesn't bring to a company, I don't know what it is. I don't know if Vince not being there or if he's just grown up. I don't know, or a combination of all of it. I know, obviously, I saw an interview where him and Triple H made up when Punk did his unannounced show up at Raw last year. Mm. And it's just, this is not the CM Punk that we thought we knew before. And even the Punk that kind of reared his head in AEW towards the end as well, this is a Punk that's just like, I just want to have fun. Like, I want to work. This might be my last big run in me now. I'm going to make the most of it and I'm just going to have fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Damien Priest, Bondage Undertaker, has come out of Mania. Like, I'm still not convinced by him, but at the moment, fuck it, let's go with it because he looks as good as he ever has at this point.
Yeah, on Raw, he was presented differently from the Judgment Day. He was in a nice red suit, rest of the guys in their normal jeans and t-shirts and hoodies. He's already transitioned himself to be looking like a star, and his press conference was great. Like, I didn't know that he was homeless sort of 10 years ago and that he worked his ass off to get to the point where he can now call himself World Heavyweight Champion. Like, that's an incredible story. And when his eventual face turn will arrive, when he breaks away from the Judgment Day, I reckon, then, brilliant.
This is a perfect indication of someone who he needed the belt to get more over, because I think you need that push. And it's either sink or swim. Either the fans buy you and you're golden, fine, or they turn on you and you think, oh, we gave it a go, you know? But early indications are the fans always pop for a cash-in, but this felt different. I don't know, it just felt a bit like, okay, you've earned this.
Mm.
Let's run with it. So, yeah, let's see how he goes. Yeah, well, when the inevitable split with Judgment Day comes, whether it's a face or heel turn for him, but what a start to Mania Night 2. Like, anyone that thought Night 1 wasn't great and was a bit ho-hum, Mania Night 2 kicked straight off with this and you knew you were on the hot road then.
What did you think of this, Ali?
Yeah, I thought it was perfect. I had the pleasure of messaging everybody who was awake saying, I told you so. I would cost through the title. I did think he'd actually not win the title, but I knew Punk had alluded to too many people, and everybody kept telling me that I was wrong, that he'd alluded that he was clear to get physical. He's like, oh, sooner than you think, sooner. And I knew, and then just again, it just sets up the story perfect for Drew to blame Punk still, even though it was all on Drew, really.
Yeah, it's all Drew's fault. This is, he could have walked off.
And even Punk said, he's like, why are you go celebrate? Go enjoy. It was just
a moment.
Yeah, it was perfect. Priest needed to cash in the stories made him look so weak and so stupid. But I actually don't like the Money in the Bank concept anymore because...
No, I agree with that,
I feel we need just immediate cash-ins coming up for a few years with Money in the Bank. You know, just the first chance you get, cash in, win the title. Almost, I mean, because it kind of defeats the purpose. Unless
he's had an injured champion at his mercy for the past 4 weeks, with Seth not being able to compete properly or being injured after that. What was the match he did it with Jinder, wasn't it? He injured his knee.
Yeah.
Like, could have took advantage then, it would have made sense. But
yeah.
It's such an albatross around your neck, isn't it? Because especially with us, like where they had so much, obviously, with Roman, where it was locked in the, with that, is he could never face Roman. Seth was injured, which, as you said, makes him look so stupid. Seth's always there and he's always injured, but Priest doesn't go, hang on, you can't work, but you're here. I could cash in.
Don't belt him with a briefcase and pin him. Like, yeah.
I think it was Michael Cole that did say that he was ineligible to cash in the whole time he was in.
Right.
But he's been really clear for 3 weeks before Mania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's still hurt. Well, he's, you know, the story's been hurt. He's been down and out. And the fact that Priest is always on screen as well, so we know he's there.
Yeah.
If he didn't show him on TV, he wouldn't look as weak. But you know what? He's cashed in. I think we're only going to get till Clash at the Castle. I think Drew takes the title back there.
Yeah.
This might be a silly question, but we don't know that for sure. Do you think Drew's re-signed yet?
I think he has, yeah.
Like,
they've got a whole event going to be built around him,
is
surely.
Is that something the company would officially announce? Because they don't tend to officially announce contract renewals, but given that there's been a lot of talk about Drew's from both, and he spoke about it, he's alluded to the fact that he hasn't signed the deal yet.
Mm.
But there's a lot that seems to be put into him, not just for now, but for the, as you said, a whole event's built around him promotional-wise. He's got the feud with Punk that he's still, you know, that seems a lot for someone that isn't guaranteed to be sticking around.
Yeah.
I just think, where else are you going to go? And that's with any star, like, I can understand, say, I don't know, I'm trying to use somebody without being disrespectful. Say JD McDonough, right?
Yeah.
Was out of contract and discounted. You could see him going to a TNA and AEW. He'll get a decent deal. He's got the WWE and the WWE behind him. And they might use him better elsewhere, right? But somebody like Drew isn't going to be in a more prominent role.
He's too big for TNA.
Yeah, unless he wanted a lighter schedule. But he lives in America now. So it's not like he's traveling back and forward from the UK. I think he might have signed a contract behind the scene, but I think the whole building thing is just to show you, look, we are behind you. Like, you know what I mean? And he's to be fair, they've highlighted him massively the last 6 months. And he's done his social media performance has been phenomenal. He's conscious. But that just maybe just shows he's maturing and growing as a performer as well. You know, you need, we love professional wrestling and we love the term, but it still is sports entertainment. You need the social media side as well. Like,
it's all one big thing now.
Was massive in it years ago, but nobody ever. Chael Sonnen in MMA, UFC, they were offered money from Dana White and the UFC to get whatever cameras and that they needed to make, like, you know, social, and none of them did. He was the only one who ever did it. You know, he would cut promos online and build a presence. And Drew's finally doing what Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona did years ago.
Yeah.
And it's now because we're in that different era and people are buying into it now. Like, Vince obviously hated it, like, that Zack became bigger than what.
Someone got himself over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's now it's probably encouraged by most. Like, Triple H doesn't, like, WWE can't do it all for you. You need to get yourself over regardless. The Rock once, remember the famous Rock line? He's like, you're on a live mic. Just make sure it's good.
Yeah.
You can apologize after. And that's the way to do it. Like, and it's the same for Bray Wyatt is the perfect example. Like, he's got himself over with umpteen character. And it's down to a lot of the promos and vignettes that he got directed himself. That's not all done by Vince and Batch. No. I mean, they're not that creative.
Also, extra special mark for Drew McIntyre for tweeting during the match as well.
Oh,
superb work.
Bored at work.
Absolutely brilliant.
Did you see the one after it? When he put that...
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Brilliant. Just, oh, so good.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Now, we've never been a bit of a come down after that, so unfortunately, these guys got to put in the come down. Philadelphia Street Fight. Final testament against Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. Bubba Ray Dudley was the special referee. I hate to sound mean here, but what is it about Bubba Ray, go back to WWE, that makes him just put weight on? Because he looks great in TNA.
Looks like fucking Alex Jones.
And the minute he goes to WWE, it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because I listen to the podcast, right, every single day. And all he spoke about for the last year is how much weight he's dropped.
How big was he, Christ?
And I'd watched him in TNA. Like he was, so he was up at like £350 at one point. So he was massive.
You got a frame for that.
He signed with TNA for 3 months. He ended up staying just short of a year. And he was putting on some unbelievable matches. Like, to the point I'm like, I wouldn't mind him being back in WWE as a heel. Like, you know, he'd be a great heel and under Triple H, like the TNA heel. And then he came back on Saturday and I'm like, oh.
It's like, just gone.
That's not how I seem to
be. Remember years back when he did that one-off initially appearance at the Rumble?
Yeah.
And he'd been in TNA ripping it up for years as Bully Ray. He looked brilliant. He looked cut. He looked really good. And you come out of the Rumble and you're like,
yeah, what happened?
You eat Devon. What the fuck's happened there? And then he went away again, as you said, then did some stuff for TNA, looked good. He's on Bust Open Radio and all this. And it's like, oh, he must just be a thing away from the busy schedule. He's got more time.
Yeah.
And I saw clips of him recently, was like, he looks, you know, looks really good.
He didn't look as big at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What's going, smaller at the Hall of Fame on the Friday.
What's going on? What is it about? Is must it be the cameras. They just add 50 pounds. Like, what the fuck is going on?
4K, 8K cameras is, we've got now.
Really weird. Just it's always about Bubba Ray. It's like, go WWE. It's just like he walks through the door. It's like, oh, I'm fat again. It's like a special thing. Very weird. The
this
match
though,
was
for what it was, I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought it was never going to be a classic, was it?
And it was good. Yeah, it passed some time. It didn't offend. It looked good. The women took a hell of a bump through the table as well.
Oh, Karrion Kross can't even lay on the table properly. Big idiot.
Oh.
Yeah, can we just release him now? I'm not.
Keep Scarlett around, but release Karrion. Yeah,
I mean, if the only reason we're keeping him is for Scarlett, fine, keep him. Yeah. But those three need to go. Like, I don't get the whole lot. It's just the tag team, I can't even remember their name.
AOP.
Authors of Pain. Honestly, I like them. But put them away from Karrion Kross. I like them. Paul Ellering, I like that presentation. It worked before. Put them in the tag
team. They disappeared in this match. They just like wandered off at some point, didn't they? Because it was just Kross getting beaten up by three guys for about 45% of this match.
Put the Profits back in the tag division. I love Lashley. So underutilized. It's criminal. Yeah. They can't find more to do with Bobby Lashley. But this match was fine. ECW tribute. It got a pop. Bubba Ray got a pop. I love the little bit with the glasses and the tiptoeing around, getting in position. Like, what's up? It was all good. Fine. Got me a laugh.
We move on.
Just quickly, Montez Ford's big flick.
Christ almighty.
Oh, good God.
That was a heart and mouth moment, that.
Like. Yeah.
He is a star though. A couple of years time, he's going to be a single star pushing the upper card.
It was so good that when they showed it live, it was like, oh Jesus Christ, you're right. On the replay, I still found myself worried about him, even though I knew it was okay. It's like, I'm worried he's okay. This is a replay, and I'm still like, I can shit myself. He's going to get hurt. It's incredible. Okay, up next, the match that's had a really so-so build between two guys that maybe should be in higher positions, but for whatever reason aren't. LA Knight and AJ Styles. I really enjoyed this. I think both guys showed up. LA Knight looked good. Styles is Styles. New entrance theme. What do we think?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's more heelish, but then his other one wasn't particularly face entrance theme, was it? It was.
I thought it was, yeah. I thought it was quite neutral, actually.
It was just sort of, okay, that's AJ's theme. I didn't enjoy this match. I mean, because I don't like LA Knight, but it just didn't, like Jimmy and Jay, it just didn't click for me. I just thought the whole Slim Jim thing.
That's
desecrating Macho Man's memory. That's his thing. Fuck off, LA Knight.
Savage was larger than life, that being the Slim Jim thing didn't detract because it was him.
Yeah.
LA Knight doesn't have the same thing that Savage does, where it doesn't kind of come across as hokey and cheesy and stuff. And it's like
that woman he ever car to couldn't look less fucked to have won a car as well.
Oh, she's selling that. That car's ordered on eBay.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
Selling the shit out of that car.
She didn't pay any insurance on that thing. So that.
I enjoyed it, but I don't know where they go from here. Like, AJ, I don't know what AJ does now.
Nah.
Honestly.
Again, he's sort of bulletproof, isn't he? He can just transition to whatever and it'll be fine because it's AJ. I don't really know what you do with LA Knight after this. I know you beat AJ Styles at WrestleMania, but does that bump him up the card? Does he become a Cody challenger or a Priest challenger, depending on what happens in the draft? I don't know.
I mean, are you putting him with Logan Paul? Do you try
Logan Paul's miles above him?
Level?
I just think Paul's so far ahead of him in terms of.
I was going to say, I don't know. Logan Paul's good, but I don't know if he can work down yet. He's not built his ability up yet. He can work up and he can work at the same, but I don't know if he can work down. That's if he's going to the ring we want us for.
Speaking of which, Logan Paul defending against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I like the entrances. I like the prime truck. I thought we'd get more than just a little bit of firework presentation. I want to shoot primal over the audience because we want to be covered in a sticky mess for the rest of the night.
We'll get a Kurt Angle milk truck prime moment at some point, won't we?
We will at some point. I love the little Owens ATV and then going back and picking up Orton. It was so good. You can tell that KO and Orton's just having fun working this stuff at the moment.
Mm.
Like, Orton doesn't need to be a main eventer. He can be, but he's clearly having fun doing this stuff. So just fucking let him do what he wants.
Yeah, he's in that position where he can become a main event challenger for a title for a month or two and then drop back down to elevate someone else. Like, to put him with Logan Paul is massive for Paul. Like, he's at the point now where I don't think of him as a thing outside of wrestling. He is a wrestler.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's a bloody good one as well.
It's so frustrating. But I don't know why it's annoying. It just, maybe because he's a heel, I don't know. But
the Swanton into Frog Splash double move he did. He's amazing.
It's no longer a point where you say, oh, Logan Paul held his end up. So, no. Logan Paul belongs. He didn't hold his end up against all. He didn't have to be carried through this.
No.
Like, at times it felt like, who's the ring general here? Who's running things? Because Logan just fits in.
Yeah, it didn't feel as scripted, this one. You know, like, I feel a lot of these matches have been good, but pretty choreographed almost. Yeah. Like this is what we do here. But this one just, this it genuinely, like, forgetting, like, the main event that we'll come on to because of the whole story, this was my favourite storytelling match of the night. Like, it was done, like, perfectly. Like, sometimes I hate triple threats the way they're going, but honestly, it was like a 2-on-1 match for like the first 6-7 minutes. Brilliant. Yeah. And every time there was like that, oh, we have to fight. Like, Kevin Owens is a comical genius. Like, when it comes to, like, even in time when he's talking about, like, I've not mentioned your name, you can't come out, you know, when he's talking to people. And like, he's almost like an IWC internet troll when, like, we're all taking him out. Like, why is this happening? And we speak about it, like, on the preview show, you know, they're starting to catch on, like, they're checking under the ring, which we all know that's what happened. And it's like, Kevin Owens and Orton are, like, almost, like, going against everything that normally happens in wrestling to make sure it's pointed out. It was just, genuinely, this match made me so happy. And it was such a strong ending, obviously, with the two matches we've got. It was just done perfect. Even the finish was done great. You know, it wasn't, there was no, like, hokiness in it. It was no, like, obviously Logan still got his, like, sly win, but it wasn't just, like, out of nowhere sort of thing. It was, I think I've watched it 3 times this match. I genuinely enjoyed it so much just to keep picking up on little bits. And then even Logan's released some videos as well. Well, fans have done it and he's reposted them. Like, him watching, he is a wrestler, but he's also still a fan. He's just so respectful. And so it won't be long till he's a massive babyface. I honestly think the crowd will turn so much on him soon because they just, wrestling fans are just loyal. And once, like, he's proven he's not just here for the money.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, everybody's there for the money. They're getting paid for it. But, you know, he's not just coming and doing this. He's, for all accounts, he's gave up his boxing training and that now. And, you know, he's full time. He takes pride in that, you know, thing. I love Impulsive. Sorry, I couldn't remember the name of the podcast. Mm. And he's had everybody on it. And I love listening to him. Like, he's still learning about the business. He's never hid the fact that he's not, like, a long-term wrestling fan like that we are. We can go and quote, you know, historic matches. But he's learning off every guy that comes on the podcast and asking him all about it. And, I mean, the fact that he's getting, like, Shawn Michaels and he's getting Triple H and all that, and they're all coming on and Orton, for a start, opening up to him, just shows how much respect everybody else has for him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm over 25, so I had no idea who Ishow Speed was that was in the Prime Battle outfit. But he's a YouTube guy. These YouTube guys coming in and they can take a bump, and they okay, maybe less of the cursing on TV, but then hey, The Rock does it, so you know.
Ishow Speed, a hard bump on that table he took as well.
That was these guys, KSI and Ishow Speed, they can kind of work. You know. But yeah, I didn't know who he was. I had to be educated. But he did this job perfectly well. He got the heat and everyone got to beat the shit out of him. So everyone wins, really. Right, semi-main. Bayley challenging Io Sky to win to take on a challenge for the WWE Women's Championship. This is not the main event, but this is probably one more match of the night for me. I thought this was great. I thought the storytelling was there. Bayley. Yep. I'm kind of glad I didn't do the old school Bayley entrance with the inflatable arm waving tube men.
I did like her entrance though.
The entrance was really cool. Sky, I think, would come across really well as well. I wish they'd done more of her reign to make this seem bigger, but I think for people who've been following Bayley and know of Bayley through the years as well, this meant a lot still. It was good to see her get this kind of position in a prominent place on Mania.
Yeah, definitely. She deserves this moment. She's a four-time champion, so there's nothing new for her, but winning it at WrestleMania is quite special. And yeah, I just really enjoyed seeing her as champion. It's a really good match. Great selling of the knee as well, the long-term injury that she's had on that knee. It just builds into the story as well. And yeah, I thought it was really good.
Ali, your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought the match the night before where Becky and Rhea was the better women's title match out of the two of them. I was disappointed in the Bayley entrance. I think I just had it there for so long. I just hoped to hear the, you know, the old music. It was great storytelling in the match. I just think about like what you said, Andrew. I think we needed more of a story building up to it.
I think it was there. Like coming out of the Rumble, the story was there. It just almost seemed to have been paused over the last 2 months. And I don't know why. It just seems like that, with all the focus we've had elsewhere with the Rock stuff and the Cody stuff and the Becky and Rhea stuff, it felt like, oh shit, we need to take something away. Oh, we'll just take away from Bayley and Io Sky. Like the match is set, that's it. So we had that match announced pretty much straight after Rumble, and we've had 2 months of just kind of like, It should have meant so much more than that. They had the chance to make it feel like more, and they didn't.
I think had we swapped the Rhea and Becky and this match around placement wise, we could have had more damage control interference. Or at least attempted interference. And I think that could have added to the story, because the whole story is obviously Bayley trying to take down damage control and get the title back. Because damage control weren't there. Obviously, because they beat down, and you couldn't have too much interference, obviously, knowing what was to come. So that's why if you had swapped the placement of the match, I just think that could have been, and it would have been a great opener. Again, the story was there, and Bayley winning is that feel-good factor to open WrestleMania, that all fans wanted Bayley to win. And again, if you're then overcoming the damage control part as well, and then you could always have Jade in that helping out, you know, like they come down, get the better a bit for a bit, hurt Bayley's knee, keeping that story going, then you've got the Jade Cargill, your Bianca and that chasing them away. You didn't even have to get physical, just chasing them away. And then lose, and then it just gives you more story with damage control going on. But I mean, that's just me nitpicking, trying to like fine tune something that was a really good match. But it was more in the build up that we needed to see, I guess, long term. It'll be interesting to see where we go going forward, really.
I suspect the whole thing isn't over. Even though obviously the damage control got the tag title still, I wonder if there will still be more to come with the Bayley Io Sky story. This won't be the end of it, because we didn't get an awful lot over the 2 months worth of build up. I wonder if they'll just end it straight away, or whether they will try and go back to the well once again, maybe with a rematch.
I think backlash will be an immediate regardless, won't it? So we might get the next month or 3 weeks, whatever it is. Might get a bit more story, more so with the damage control side, because Bayley can't really add to the story, really, can she? Like, there's nothing she can do to break damage control. She's took the title off them. Unless she could help, like a tag team take tag team titles away from them, and that's where you're showing the weaknesses. But you need your faction, if they're going to be a faction, to be more than just titles as such.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the story for the next 3 4 weeks is going to be vitally important to see where they go and how this ends, really.
Okay, main event. We know what it's all about. We know the build up. I could spend so long talking about this, but we don't have that time. I can see. Okay, I can't even say the highlights of it for me because the whole thing was a highlight. Like, I loved the match. I don't think it was as good as last year's because I think we had so much expectation of what was going to happen and what we hoped would happen, and I think because they knew what was going to happen at the end, it
Yeah.
kind of you were waiting for it all to kick in, so you couldn't get fully invested in the sense of because you knew there was going to be interference because it was told that way. But the crowd were into it. The entrances were great. Roman didn't have really like a special super entrance, but he doesn't need it at this point. He's just got that aura.
An
It's
orchestra,
just,
isn't he, playing them in?
yeah,
That's what
just
was
that. That don't need to.
happening.
He walks out, belt up. That's like you're the man. Like you are the man. It
Yeah.
was great to see Brandy as well. Really good to see Brandy there with Cody. The crowd were fully into it. I was worried after 2 nights of Mania and a lot's happened, but the crowd almost had that reserve. They were saving for this match, and the crowd were great. It was there. It was perfect for me. It
Yeah.
couldn't have gone any better.
Yeah, I thought, well, when the Rock's in the ring and the Rock's just throwing Cena out, he's giving him the rock bottom and he throws him out. We're all waiting for the glass to smash. What did you think when the bell went? I lost my shit. I'm obviously one of the biggest Taker fans of all time. I bet Ali hated this, but I thought
First,
it 'cause
my first thought when the Shield music started
oh.
is for a brief moment,
Did you think it was Dean?
I thought,
I
hang on a
did.
minute,
Yeah.
as Mox, no, because it didn't make okay. And looking back now, it does make sense, but in that moment, you didn't
Yeah.
think that Seth would be the one to do that, so you had that. And I think, and I love that even the way the commentators were acting is like they made it sound like they thought it was Mox as well, because it was like.
Yeah.
Pat was like, no, 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 no. It's like you don't even think about Seth. You almost felt like I forgot that Seth was in the Shield.
Yeah.
And then Seth coming in and getting taken out straight away, in that moment, you think that was shit. But then after the match, you look back over everything and you realize it
It's
was
my favorite thing about
absolutely
Mania. It
perfect.
was the perfect Roman made the perfect choice because of what he has been through
Yes.
with the Shield from the very when they broke up and when even when they came in as the Shield.
Like,
It's
people talk about layers,
yeah.
and the best layers for me are the ones that aren't explained, and yet you can look into it. So, yeah, like the Seth Roman thing from the turn back in the day, obviously. When Sammy turned on Roman at the Rumble, it was a chair to the back. It was mirroring that. Roman still can't escape that moment of being turned on with a chair to the back. So, when Seth gets in the ring, knowing he's going to be taken out, but he got a chair in the ring. That's all he wanted was get a chair in the ring. So when Roman had the chair and Seth, I know it's scripted, but you almost think like if you look at it as a real thing, Seth's like, I know I'm gonna get hit here, but if I can get to my feet, I'm because he said to Cody in the promo on Raw, I can be your Shield. He was literally the Shield.
Foreshadowing was
Like,
incredible.
how good is that? Like,
Yeah.
peel that fucking onion, boys, because that is like top tier storytelling. Like,
We
I'm
saw
not sure I've ever had something that good.
last year's Rumble, Seth as Shield Seth, it messes with Roman's mind.
It's
Like
it.
it's affected him that much that he can't get over it. And the fact that he chose to hit Seth and cost himself the title because he knew Cody was there and Cody was up.
And
Like
up to now, Seth is the one person
fucking
Roman's
brilliant.
never pinned.
No.
Like, Roman's 1300 plus day reign, one man he's never pinned to successfully retain the belt. And
Yeah.
that was Seth.
Yeah.
Like,
It was
all of
fucking
it is
brilliant.
there. And it's just, and even after the match, like, they didn't highlight it on TV, but Seth was selling the knee, slowly getting into the ring. And then after, when everyone left for Cody Glover's moment, Cody kind of, they had that little handshake. It was like, it didn't
Yeah.
need to be talked about. We didn't know what needed to be said. You could see Seth was saying, it's your time now, whatever. But it was
He had
like,
his arm around
I
KO, didn't he?
was
And KO
your,
was helping him through the
yeah.
back.
It was like, they all realized Seth played that part. And there was a bit as well where they showed Paul Levesque going up to Seth. And part of me wants this is to say thank you. Like, almost we made you look secondary, but that made you bigger because you lost your belt because you chose to help Cody and therefore get injured in that match the night before. You sacrificed yourself in that. You've lost your title. You've come back out there to get hit, to sacrifice yourself and be the Shield, just so this guy can have his moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's incredible storytelling.
It's genuinely, it's Iron Man and Endgame. It's genuinely Iron Man.
Iron Man putting the gauntlet on. Yeah.
To hang it. It's honestly this, I'm not even going to lie, I cried at the end of the story. I had full on tears.
Yeah.
This genuine, and then the fact that like I went to work on Monday morning on full of sleep.
You did.
But people at my work were talking about this. This conversation of people who don't watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Because they'd seen it on TikTok in the morning or they'd seen it on Facebook Reels type stuff. You know, but I've got folk who slag me off all week because I said literally I'll have 4 hours sleep all weekend.
Yeah.
Told me grow up, I'm a 40-year-old man. Like this story was it genuinely was like I felt about it the same way as I felt about Endgame when it was coming up. Just peered on my memories on Facebook recently about, you know, the rules and blah blah blah.
Mm.
And this was the same for me. Like this was, it was just perfect. And I can't remember, one of you said something earlier and I meant to bring it up then, but like the whole, if WrestleMania 39 doesn't happen, we don't get this moment. You know, if the Cody Law, and I was fuming last year.
Oh yeah.
It's the whole, Andrew, it was actually yourself, like night one being meh compared to night two and how it needed to happen. But it's the whole just let them cook. Just have faith. Yeah. Just believe. Everything's there for a reason. We're not always going to get the results we want or the results we think we should happen. But what will happen, whether it's 6 months or a year down the line, will be something bigger and better. And this, that moment on Sunday night eclipses anything that Cody could have ever got. If Cody loses every single match and the story from now on is terrible, what we got was perfect. You know, we don't need more. I don't believe that'll happen.
No.
But I think Cody's far too good of a storyteller. He's far too good at forgetting anybody backstage. I think what WWE, and I stand by what I said to you a few months ago, Ross, when you first brought the podcast. This is the best time in wrestling that there's ever been.
Yep.
The Attitude Era, when you go back and watch, the Attitude Era is actually terrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of awful stuff.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's great because you were either a teenager, depending on
exactly, we were all the perfect age for it.
Maybe young 20s, you know what I mean? And so it was great that way because it was just fun. But as in proper athletes, great wrestling, promos, women wrestling, tag teams,
the whole package
this is
of
by
everything.
Far the best time in wrestling we can ever have.
There were moments that you go back and you think, oh, that was amazing. The Austin returns, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. It's good moments. But there has never been a time in wrestling where, I'll hold my hands up now, I've watched a happy babyface ending moment and it brings me to tears. And not like on crying because someone's died, that's different. But it's so good and so invested. That
you're invested, that's it, isn't it? This is
you
a
are looking forward to it. And to the fact that I was genuinely... I don't know how I would have reacted if we didn't get any of the stuff that I wanted at the end of that night. Like, if we'd just got a simple 1-2-3, I'd been like, fuck you, I'm done. I don't care anymore. I would have been so... And even the fact that like, I was angry about Drew like being like losing his belt, and I was angry about Gunther. Why is this getting me that annoyed? Like, I shouldn't be getting that... Like, I was seething when Gunther lost. I was so angry when Drew lost. And it's like, why can't I just take a step back? No, fuck that. I'm in. I'm all into this.
Well, that's it. Why should we take a step back? It's the same way that people get invested in EastEnders or Hollyoaks or whatever. It's sports entertainment. When people say to me, oh, it's fake, you know. Yeah, I know it's fake. I've known it's fake since I was 8 years old, but I don't care.
EastEnders is fake. Someone didn't really get killed at Christmas, but millions tuned in. It took over social media. And Ross, to answer your question about the not hearing the glass and hearing the gong, at first I was like, oh, okay. Mm. But on second viewing, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, I know Taker and Roman have obviously had history and Roman beat Taker if they wanted to go that route.
Mm.
But it almost feels like Taker now is in the role of WrestleMania protector and guardian.
Yeah.
He doesn't want shit to go down. Like everyone had their equal. Cena coming out was huge because we knew it, but it's like, oh, and I popped for Cena coming out, and he did his bit and he was great.
Yeah.
And then Rock coming out was obvious, but he looked good, and the Rock Cena thing was nice to see. And then Seth's bit, and you're right, glass break. Oh, it's Undertaker. Fuck, this is huge because we haven't seen Undertaker on TV, you know? And he disappeared. He didn't hang around for the celebrations like everyone else did. It's like, Taker was there almost to protect WrestleMania. He's the guardian at this point now. When shit goes wrong and stuff isn't going to go the way it should do, Taker shows up.
Up pops a Taker.
But it was great. Like, Taker coming back, and I don't care that he wasn't dressed up as a dead man. He didn't need to be. Undertaker's gone now. Like, the minute you start doing podcasts and dressing up for fucking Saudi Arabian princes, the Undertaker's dead to me. This Undertaker came here to save WrestleMania and to make sure the right thing happened. And it was perfect. And it was, and I know I'm going to watch that end, the last 5 minutes, probably multiple times a week for the next 70 months. And I will hear that call by Michael Cole and I will break. And I'll hear the snap for Irving break and I will go. And I'll listen to the Michael Cole speech after. And Cody's just being the ultimate babyface that you just want to get behind and you want him to succeed. And the Dusty link and just, it's the perfect WrestleMania main event for me. It gave me everything I could want.
If this is Triple H's first WrestleMania in charge, God knows what he's got to implant.
This was 40. This was a big one. Like, and I love that he didn't hark back to the past. There was none of this like, oh, WrestleMania retro and rewind. No, it's, and not just to trying to remove the Vince thing, I get that. But it's like, this is the future now. Like, this we're seeing new stuff. Yeah. Also, the 8K camera shots on the challengers and champion. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It just looks, it's next level. This is like a new company. Kevin Dunn leaving is one of the best things production-wise could ever happen.
Absolutely.
WWE now. I can't say enough good things about this. It might make it my best WrestleMania for the investment and the emotional of everything. It's just, it will take some beating. It really will.
Yes, it will,
It's clear top for me now. I've not been this invested in a main event at WrestleMania since WrestleMania 6. And bear in mind, I was 6-year-old.
Yeah, same here.
It was Hogan Warrior, and it was like the battle of the good guys. And pretty much back then, you were either a Warrior fan or a Hogan fan.
Yeah, you were.
I hated Hogan then.
Yep.
Obviously, I had great intuition, clearly. But I was a Warrior guy. And and that, like, no Warrior fan genuinely thought, well, I was 6, so I did. But like when you look back, like you would never have believed Warrior would have beat Hogan.
No.
And it was the same way nobody ever thought Roman would ever lose. I genuinely was invested in this as much. Had Cody lost, I genuinely would have been done with this. Like, I was that invested. I'm that petty and petulant.
And like, so was so many other people as well. They would have fucked it for themselves.
Cody, like, I am a Cody crybaby, a full on. Right? I was spitting the dummy about 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, whatever it was. I
don't really buy wrestling merch much these days. One, because it's so expensive now. 38 quid for a shirt on WWE Shop.
Yeah, since Fanatics took over, I'm out.
It's awful. Yeah. I bought the Punk shirt because I wanted that shirt for 10 years, so I bought it. I want to buy Cody stuff. I want to buy wrestling gear. I want to have, like, it. I'm at that point where, like, damn it, I love professional wrestling. Wrestling is beautiful. Because it, and like, man, I went back to work, so I had 4 days off. People were messaging me saying at WrestleMania, like, this is what happens now. People are talking to me, and these are people that, as you said, Ali, like, you either get mocked for it 1 week, but then the following week, you're like, did you watch it? Yes, I did. And I adored it.
Wrestling, obviously, it was like my first love. Like, of anything we ever did, wrestling was my first love before football. I didn't really start really loving football until I was about 14. Played it and watched it, but didn't care enough. I have one wrestling tattoo so far, and it's an Ultimate Warrior one. May 27th, I'm getting the Cody Rhodes tattoo. Like, I am fully bought in with Cody.
On your neck?
Not on my neck. I'm not allowed. The wife has said no, and I'm not getting the American. I'm still getting the full-on logo. And again, it's the two, the one that made me fall in love with, and the one who's made me properly, like, almost fall in love again.
Rekindle that love for it. Yeah.
I never thought Cody Rhodes would bring me back. Last year I was firmly on board and he lost and I was angry. And the last year to see Cody, he's good, but how has Cody come from what he was to being the biggest star in the business? Yeah. Like, nothing AEW can do, nothing TNA, nothing New Japan, nothing any of those companies can do. And I'm going to make a note now. The Young Bucks showing off the all-in footage? Fuck me, grow up. Jesus Christ. Oh, we want to do it to humiliate CM Punk. Yeah, Punk's going to be really hurt by that when he's working for the biggest company in the world over huge dickheads. Like, Cody Rhodes is just, I don't know, he has no right being this big. Like, for what, 5 years ago, you know, and all this. And I love the story they've told. It's just, it's beautiful. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, right. Otherwise, we could talk about this all night, and I probably would. Okay. If you have any thoughts, feelings, or anything else about the show, you can contact us in normal ways on Facebook at Ring the Bell Show, on Twitter and Instagram at Ring the Bell Pod. Ross, what's the email address and TikTok?
ringthebellpod@gmail.com, and TikTok is ring.the.bell.podcast.
Very soon we will have our merchandise store up and running, so we'll be sending out links to that when it's good to go. If you want to give us a 5-star rating and review, it'd be really, really appreciated. Or just generally recommend us to anyone that you speak to. You can get us in the normal ways on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music Podcasts. Anywhere you do podcasts, you will find Ring the Bell. Anything else to add, gents?
No, I mean, I'm just looking forward to what else is to come this year now. Like, this has kicked off the year. I know it's April, but this has kicked off the year big time for me. And I can't wait for the rest of it.
Thank you, Ali Thompson, for coming back. We will have you back on very, very soon because this is great. I just love talking about wrestling right now. And the more people we can get on this, the better.
Yeah, wrestling's at the peak. Let's just take advantage of it.
Okay, this has been Ring the Bell. Enough WrestleMania is in the books. I've been Andrew.
I've been Ross. Andrew.
Yes.
Ring that bell.